You know, this is an entertainment industry problem in general, right? You've got a lot of options for how consumers can spend their entertainment model. So when we think about marketing, we're not thinking about competing in the esports category. We're thinking about, why is the consumer going to come to GameWorks versus going to a movie,
right,
bowling, taking a walk in the park, or going to the beach? So, you know, we try to create events and promotions and the same sorts of things that other folks do in marketing, and then just make them compelling as specifically as possible around an esports event or an audience or come play in our arcade or those sorts of things.
From the marketing agency 256, it's Gaming and Marketing, a show about gaming, marketing, and just about everything in between. We speak to experts in the space about how and why interactivity and video games are more relevant than ever, in culture, but also in business. And hopefully, you'll walk away with a better understanding of why play matters. Our guest in this episode is Philip N. Kaplan, the CEO of GameWorks. You might be familiar with the chain of video game arcades that was originally founded in 1996. As you might remember from your childhood, GameWorks wasn't only a place to play games. With full-service bars and restaurants in them, these are truly entertainment venues. Currently, there are 7 GameWorks venues throughout the United States, with the reopening of the chain's flagship store in Las Vegas, Nevada. They've also rolled out more GameWorks esports locations throughout the country. As for Philip, he's been a C-level executive of 3 different NASDAQ companies. He was first brought on to the GameWorks board for his expertise and then joined as CEO. In that role, Philip has been positioning GameWorks as a leader in the growing market of esports. He starts off by describing GameWorks, especially for people who haven't been before.
We describe ourselves as an esports and entertainment company. So what I would say to some, you know, GameWorks, it's a place to go have a great time. You can compete in esports, but you can stay for hours because we have a full-blown, what we would call a concession area, but it's really a full-service restaurant bar area. So under 21, over 21. And then we have a full-blown arcade floor area where there's also stand-up video games, really a lot of the latest branded titles in that area of a lot of different categories and redemption games. And we run events frequently across all of our locations. So there, you know, on the esports side, we're now running well over 100 tournaments a month, and there's a very constant drumbeat of tournament activity. So if you're a member of an esports community, you can come and play regularly. You know, so for example, Tuesday nights is Fighting GameWorks, and we have the fight game community, whether it's Tekken or Street Fighter or one of the other very good fight titles, can come play. We are publisher agnostic, so whatever the game is that the consumer wants to play, we will offer.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting just because, you know, the history of esports or playing video games competitively, you know, really started at places like GameWorks, right? So you pull from this longer tradition of arcades where people played games competitively, sometimes for money. I remember, you know, you put quarters on the edge of an arcade game or whatever to get ready to play whoever is top dog at that moment. So it's cool to see, you know, you have that heritage in terms of being a place where people play games for fun, but also for competition as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love the quarters analogy. I did that in high school. Absolutely. Lining up for Galaga and Centipede. But
yeah, exactly.
Back in the day, and you know, we don't have that genre of game. We're kind of more the modern games in our arcade. But absolutely, we have hundreds of titles in every store. And what we've done very heavily since I came in is invest a lot of money into updating and having the latest games. And also, since we were already a leader in esports even before I got here, just really kind of taking advantage of there's a big generational transformation in terms of gaming towards more formalized gaming competitions, and you know, we have all levels of participation in that.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I was curious, what are some of those characteristics that you've seen from previous growth industries that you're applying to this business that you're running today?
So it's interesting. When markets have phases, right? And so when a product is mature, everyone knows what the product is. And so there may be a marginal feature or competition becomes commoditized and price oriented. This is a very early stage market. The people that are hearing about esports, since it's all of a sudden hit so much media attention, Wall Street mm-hmm. Journal and other, you know, major national publications are talking about esports. You've got a huge audience of people that has been playing, but you've got a much larger audience that is saying, what is it? And
yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
we are at the market education phase. And so a lot of our approach has been to say, hey, come and play, make it friendly. And as I'm out telling the company's story, I'm really trying to be inviting and tell what is esports and really be an advocate for the category, because frankly, you know, we will be one of a number of companies that have offerings that will materialize in all different kind of flavors and market segments over the next 5 years. And we're going to be one of the leaders in the space, but there will be other companies. And it's such a huge category, varies regionally, tastes very regionally, varies by country, yeah. It's international. You know, we want to have just a warm and growing supportive community, which really does reflect the people that are now active in esports. It's all about communities, the fighting game community, the racing game community, the first person shooter community. And these, you know, again, they vary a lot by region and by country.
One of the questions I have for you is that because the esports space is developing so quickly, you also work in a physical business that requires physical locations. And I was curious, you completed the rollout of GameWorks esports lounges across the country. Could you tell me a little bit about the thinking behind that move? Because the space moves so quickly, you know, you had to make a decision about, like, is this the direction that we're going to take GameWorks as a company and ultimately as a brand? Could you walk me through some of the thinking about how you got to that place?
Sure. So I come from a pretty classic product background, amongst other things, in process of developing various businesses. And where we started was looking at the player and trying to understand what the player would want. And when I got to GameWorks, we already had 3 esports lounges. So mm-hmm. you know, we had experience within our own 4 walls that we could benefit from, but then we could also look out to the broader market and do some market work and make some judgments based on experience. But ultimately, it was about having scale and running larger tournaments. We're describing the physical setup that I just, but it's more than just the physical setup. The physical setup is, if you have the right size checkbook, you can have that physical setup. But
right.
This physical setup is only the beginning of the experience, because there's a lot that goes into making sure the right service is in place for mm-hmm. those players, both from the concession side and then actually the gaming lounge side, and then also running activities. So we created, on a national basis, there are certain things that have to be in the venue, and then there are certain things that we can run and create expertise in a kind of a core product team on a national basis in terms of running tournaments and events and getting engagement with game publishers. You know, for example, we ran a series with PUBG and PUBG Mobile, where we were promoting it, they were promoting it, and it was a chance for their players. They have a huge global audience for their game, and we have 8 venues, but they had the chance to come in, you know, some of the players and meet at our locations. You know, similar, we had a cross GameWorks fighting games tournament this fall. Those are the kinds of things. You have to combine all those, and that's not easily done. So anyway, it's iteratively improving on an experience as the category grows, and that requires commitment and that requires investment.
Yeah, from a publisher's standpoint, like, if you're a game maker, it's not going to make sense for you to, you know, create spaces all around the country. So they can really, you know, there's a cost on your end that you've already incurred. And so it's great for publishers to be able to step in and say, hey, how can we bring the thing that we do really, really well and bring it to people in a physical space without having to, you know, ultimately put the infrastructure investment in to create all of those spaces for themselves. Now, you have this flagship store in Las Vegas, Nevada. you know, Las Vegas is becoming this gaming mecca. There's esports arenas opening up there. I mean, how do you think esports fits into that city? Well, you know, Las Vegas is known for gaming, but not for that type of gaming. And so what do you think for Las Vegas as a destination it means to have more of these esports locations opening up there?
We love Vegas. There's only one Vegas in the whole world, and Vegas is great. Anyway, I think that your major casino operators do see, and we've met with most of them, they do see the opportunity because a younger audience that's an attractive demographic is who plays video games and esports. And that's, you know, they want to make sure that as tastes for gaming evolve towards online gaming and video gaming, that their properties and that wagering that they can participate in stays relevant, whether it's wagering audience and non-wagering, as long as their properties are staying relevant with it. So there's a number of flavors of esports that have touched the Vegas market. We're touching it in two flavors. And one has been rolled out, which is our traditional GameWorks store on the South Vegas Strip. And the second one has been announced, but not specifically as to a location. So we've announced a concept called Play by GameWorks. And you know, we believe firmly that esports wagering is going to be a large market at some point in the future. No one can say when. So we want to be a participant very early on with the right casino partners that bring in the audience and have a good place to come and play. And then we, as the best operator, will come in and run the esports feature of the casino for them.
How do you see the GameWorks brand standing out in a place like Las Vegas? Because, you know, I'm thinking as you go down the strip, all of these different casinos have a different texture and a different feel. So, you know, New York is different from Caesar's Palace, which is different from the Cosmopolitan, right? How do you see GameWorks establishing like a unique presence there while you're sort of under this larger umbrella of like what those casinos might mean to their potential customers?
I think it's important to be in a place where the demographic that you want wants to be, right? So you can, without naming specific properties, there are just properties that wouldn't have the right audience for esports. Right. Things change and evolve very rapidly there in terms of what property is targeting which demographic. So I think from our perspective, just being where the demographic already is matters. But also what's attractive from the other side is that esports and GameWorks bring in a great demographic. You know, we bring in that millennial and Gen Z demographic.
Yeah.
The, you know, the 21 to 28 demographic that's going already to a location, and when you bring in esports and then you bring in an esports wagering experience and more of a Vegas style experience, that's what Play by GameWorks is. And it works when you bring all those elements together. And when you start not bringing all those elements together, it won't work as well.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about your target audience for the esports lounges, not just in Las Vegas, but across the GameWorks locations? Like, what are the personas of the people that you expect to come to an experience at your locations?
So generally speaking, we're targeting millennials and Gen Z. That's our age group. We're not targeting one gender or the other. Games skew slightly male, but not as much as they would have a number of years ago. So we'd be really happy if it was just reflecting the general population.
Yeah.
Likewise, from a racial composition, it's very even. You know, it's pretty much reflects the population of its local market.
Yeah.
You know, more specifically, these games tend to have communities around a type of game. So, you know, that's why we tend to have fighting games on Tuesdays and shooter games on Thursdays and in the evening and those sorts of things. And then, you know, anything goes at other hours of the day and on weekends. And then tournaments are organized around a specific game type or a specific title that's popular, like the Super Smash Brothers Ultimate tournament that we ran. That's a really fun Mario. Everybody loves Mario Brothers. And it was, you know, we had this tournament in the spring that was covered in every local market and that was sponsored by Dell Computers, Alienware, Cougar Gaming, and Tabasco Pepper Sauce.
Yeah, it's something that we tell our clients a lot. It's less about the differences between like gamers and non-gamers. The more interesting question is, what's the difference between the individuals inside of that gamer set, right? They're all different. They want different things. And so being able to identify their needs and interests individually, as opposed to like looking at like gamers as a holistic category, I think is really important when you're thinking about marketing to this group.
Yeah, it's just become too big to market to the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. One of the big tensions in, I think, esports is the dynamic between people who play the game and people who watch the game. You know, ultimately, I think for esports to be successful, the latter category has to be larger. And that's true for, you know, every professional competitive thing that exists out there, right? So for poker or for football or baseball or any of these things, how do you see GameWorks as a lounge feeding into that, helping bridge that gap between those two different segments of game audiences?
Sure. So on a day-to-day basis, we want the consumer to be comfortable to come in and play, even somebody who doesn't even know how to play the game yet. We want to have be very comfortable to walk into our esports lounge. And on the other hand, we've had some of the big name professional teams. I'll mention one that everyone's heard of, Cloud9, made an appearance a month or two ago at our Minneapolis Mall of America's location. And it was a great opportunity for their fans locally to meet them in a place where the consumer was already comfortable coming. So these kinds of interactions can work. Certainly they can come in, you know, a team or a league can run a competition across that. We announced recently the partnership that we have with the High School Esports League for a sort of mid-level competition where their players can come in and their teams can come in and compete directly at, you know, on our equipment and at our facilities. So, you know, it's really, we want to be accessible to all levels and be a resource for the sport.
Great. Well, Phil, thank you so much for making time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the 256 podcast, where we talk about the future of play and interactivity. This podcast is produced by Trisha Tonko with help from Anthony Martinez and music by Lucy. If you like this show, and I hope you do, tell your friends and colleagues, and please leave us a rating on iTunes or wherever you listen. If you're enjoying this podcast, you should check out our research report on different types of marketing strategies in gaming and how you can get started. You can find that at 256.co, where you could also sign up for our newsletter. I'd also love to hear from you. You can find both me, Jamin Warren, and our agency 256, that's spelled out, on Twitter. Thanks so much, and take care.